Just remain standing, Brother Andy Kallenbach, church planner in Ethan, South Dakota, going to come bring our message at this time. Amen. Brother Kallenbach, just make yourself right at home and preach the Word of God. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Amen. All right. Well, it's good to be here. It's good to be not sitting in that chair in there for a while. There's no air conditioning in that chair. And it gets a little hot and sweaty, doesn't it, brother? But it's been worth it. I thought about that song. It's been worth every mile.
Amen.
Been worth every trial. And it'll be worth it all when we see the Lord.
Amen.
One of these days. But I want you to go. I'm just going to preach real familiar with me. We talked about it today. Of course, I don't guess there was a whole lot we didn't talk about today. But I think it was good. And it's good to have people that call in, or I think it was a call in that said they were encouraged that they liked the marathon.
Amen.
They liked marathon time.
Right.
And so I'm glad of that. I mean, I do. I think people like to hear a lot of things. And we get into some foolishness sometimes, I guess. But it's not to hurt. But I think there's a lot of good.
Right.
And I said yesterday, I believe it was, we were talking about iron sharpening iron. And boy, it's good to have that.
Yes,
and if you ever come out where we are, and I would say y'all ought to come out and see us, come out and help us, probably right around January. I think I'm going to book Brother Lockard. Miss Lockard's saying no already. But I'm sure he's booked somewhere else, brother. I understand that.
Florida.
But I'll tell you, I mean, we don't have, I was telling Brother Shepherd, we don't have the fellowship out there. I come down here, we get to Indianapolis, and we're with Brother Nichols, and we had the service there, and then fellowship during the day, and then the service at night, and then some more fellowship, and then Monday we had fellowship with rain all day long, and then Tuesday it rained all day long, and then my wife got a call and said there's a revival service going on over here, and so we went to that. And I mean, you just got opportunity to go to church and to fellowship a while. And we just don't have that out there. I'm not trying to make you feel sorry. I'm just saying their fellowship is a big part of it. They continued in the breaking of bread and in fellowship. And fellowship is important. And I thank the Lord. And I think Brother Steve's still working on that because my phone still cuts out after about 15 minutes. I know he's looking at me like, sorry, brother. I didn't mean to bring up business during working hours for someone else. So. But anyway, but it's important. But I want to read you just a couple of verses here in 1 Chronicles chapter number 4. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, and we talked about this today some, but I really felt like this is what the Lord burdened my heart about. And in this whole genealogy, and I would, I'm not going to read through it. I have, and there's some names in there that I would not name. I would not name my children. I don't want to have to spend a half an hour trying to figure out their name to call them when they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Amen. But in all those names, there's a reprieve in there. And in verse number 9, the Bible says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And you know, people can go back and try to figure out why was he more honorable than his brethren. Well, I believe we're going to see it right here in the next verse. But it says he was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel.
Amen.
And I believe that's what made him more honorable.
Right.
And it would do us good today to call on that same God.
That's right.
But it says he called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil. That's a great prayer right there. We could stop there, and it would be a model prayer.
Right.
We want a blessing from God, and the bottom line is, One of the biggest blessings that God gives us is to keep us from evil.
Right.
And I believe that in these days, we need that probably more than anything else. A lot of people don't consider that a blessing. They consider it something else. But it is a blessing in these days, Brother Lockhart. When you see the whole world doing what they're doing, and God is blessing us by keeping us from that.
Amen.
I mean, we talked about that today and about how Christian people can get out of the will of God. They can do some different things.
Right.
But I'll tell you this, we would not do those, Brother Lockhart, I believe, if we'd ask God to bless us right. with a protection from what the world has to lure us with. So he says that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it not grieve me. I think one time again we ought to get back to the place where evil grieves us.
Right.
And the thought of us getting into the evil of the world ought to grieve us.
Right.
That it not, and God granted him that which he requested.
Amen.
Now we've seen it this week already that we've prayed and we've asked the Lord to bring in a certain amount of money and he's done it.
Amen.
Now he's not done it every time.
Right.
If he had, I think we'd have been up 20,000 by supper time.
Yeah.
That's what I was praying for. And you say, well, I'm not having him pray for me. He didn't get his answer. But I'm just saying, God has other reasons why he's doing what he's doing.
Right.
Why God stretches us out to see things not happen right away like we'd like them to. But I believe we can see that. But God granted him that which he requested.
Amen.
So that teaches me that if you want God to grant you the blessing that he wanted, you've got to ask him.
Right.
Pretty simple, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord. We love you tonight because you first loved us. And we just ask you tonight, Lord God, we know the marathon's going on. And Lord, there's monies that need to come in. And Lord, I'm not a super saint, super spiritual. Lord, I'm not wanting to wait till the last minute. Lord, I'm asking you tonight, Lord, just to bring it in. And Lord, to give the preacher a little bit of a comfort zone there. And Brother Steve, and Lord, I thank you for the time that we've been able to spend back there, the fellowship. And Lord, we've had our laugh time and things like that. And Lord, then the requests have come in that people need help. And Lord, and things that try to take our mind off. And Lord, I know it's not easy to ask people for money in these days when it seems so hard to get. But Lord God, I know that you need this radio station on the air. And Lord God, because it's preaching the truth, they're singing the truth, they're telling the truth on it, Lord God. And so I pray and ask you just to bring the funds in, Lord God. I pray, and I pray, Lord God, along the line that you'd teach us, Lord God, to rely on you, to have more faith in you. And then, Lord God, I pray that you'd help us tonight to get a blessing. Lord God, I pray that you'd help me as I preach, Lord God, that I not say things I shouldn't, and that I would say what you want me to say to help who you want to help tonight. And we'll thank you again. We do love you again. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I thought about this, and I've preached this some, but the Lord always seems to give me something else and a little bit of a different tilt on it. But I'm interested in the blessing from God, but I'm also interested in the fact that in order to get a blessing from God, it takes work. It takes effort to get a blessing from God. Now listen, Brother Bell, I'm not working for my salvation. You didn't work for yours.
Right.
But I'm working because I have that great salvation.
Right.
And so we don't want to get those mixed up. I have a man coming to our church every now and then. And he's one of these, you got to get a second helping of grace. And you know, it kind of bothered him. And I get a little smart alecky yet sometimes. That's not all worked out of me yet. But by the time I get as old as some of these guys, it might be. But anyway, I told him, I said, I'm not interested in a second helping. He said, you're not. I said, no, I don't think I can live with just two.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. I want a third. I need a fourth. I need a fifth. I need a helping of grace every day. I need a helping of grace every morning. I need a helping of grace every trial that comes along. I need a helping of grace every time I start thinking I'm something I'm not.
Right.
But I know that's not what he meant. But he's been coming and he's trying to tell people that you can lose your salvation. And I said, you can't lose your salvation. But anyway, I'm trying to work through all that. But I told him, I said, all we need is a blessing of salvation one time. And just trust God for it. But I was thinking, I'll get back to this. When Jabez asked the Lord to give him a blessing, he wasn't saying that I'm not going to have to do anything for it. And I believe it was a lot of effort went into that, and it ought to be on our part. But you know, today, when you try to get people fired up about the Lord, I mean, it's almost like pulling teeth out of a chicken. Yeah. And those of you who know about chicken, you know how hard that would be. Most people only interested in pulling a little bit of feathers off chicken and then eating it. But anyway, but Jabez, in his case, he wasn't concerned with just not doing anything. But today people are just, they don't want to do anything to get a blessing. They don't want to work. They just keep going on like nothing bothers them. There's no difference in them when there's a need that arises that needs to be fulfilled. Well, Jabez, he wants to go on like gangbusters. People don't like that. They want to put a wet blanket on you if you are. Oh, you're a radical. Or, you shout. You shout in the flesh. Well, I don't have any other vehicle. I mean, I try to shout when the Spirit moves me, but it's going to have to be my flesh that shouts. Amen. But people just go on like nothing. There's no problems in the world. I'll tell you what, we have a problem in the world. Along with the blessing that I get from the Lord, that I ask the Lord for, I want the blessing of being able to witness to more people. I want the blessing to be able to tell people more. I tell people this all the time and they don't believe me anymore. But I was real shy when I was young. I was. When the Lord called me to preach, people looked at me and said, there ain't no way he's going to be able to preach. Yeah. But I mean, when the Lord called me to preach and I started preaching, I remember the first, I don't know if you remember the first message you ever preached. I remember it was on David. I had four pages of notes. 10 minutes, I was done. Yeah. And back in my seat. Amen. I mean, that's how it was. Yeah. I said, boy, get me off this platform. But what I did is, as I went along, I said to my wife, I said, I can't do this. There's no way. I can't get up in front of people. What am I gonna? Listen, I know why a lot of preachers don't have a whole lot to say. You gotta have somebody to talk about. You gotta have something in here to talk about. Something that excites you. Something that'll get you to have something to talk about. That's why I have an outline, because there'd be too much to talk about. I have to kind of try and stay online. When I asked the Lord, I said, and I didn't know about Jabez. Listen, I mean, that's not the first place you go to study for a message is in Chronicles. I mean, you just don't do it. You go some easier place. Like a camp meeting and just grab one off somebody else. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Hall. I had to go put three outlines back that were Brother Hall's outlines even. But I asked the Lord, I said, you know, I can't do it this way. I've got to have more. And then when I got into Jabez, I thought, you know what, I'm not the only one that's ever asked for something like that. I'm not the only one that's ever felt like that. I'm not the only one that said, Lord, I need more than what I've got. I said, Lord, I need more of a burden for lost people. I need more of a burden to go out and to tell people about the Lord and to try to witness to them and to try to win them. And he stuck me in the prisons. Amen. I was in the prisons for a long time as a chaplain, and I had one service that I had one man. I had preached in a church, and I said, I don't care if anybody shows up. I'm still going to go in. I'm still going to preach the gospel. And you know what? The Lord said, I'm going to try you on that. Yes, Brother Gibson was in there for 1 year. 1 year, one man in a prison service. You know what I did? I just kept going in. Kept going in. I find that when he came in, somebody'd have him open the windows on the side. And he'd open the windows, and I'd see inmates lining those windows on the outside. They wasn't coming in, but they was listening on the outside. And I just kept going in and kept going in. You know what? Pretty soon, after a year, 28 men come into that service room. After a year. God wants us to be faithful. I believe that's another reason that made Jabez more honorable, is he was faithful to God. God honors faithfulness. Above ability, God honors faithfulness. Above how a person can talk or preach. I heard a guy say this to me the other day. He said, I thought I'd recognized you, But until you got that red hanky out, I realized then that I'd seen you preach before. And I thought, did you hear me though? Yeah. I said, well, in one ear and out the other. But you know what I'm talking about. But I, you know, you get in places and it becomes where it's not about you anymore. It's about the Lord.
Yes.
And so I asked the Lord, I said, if you would, just enlarge my coast.
Amen.
Just push it out. It's not a thing that comes natural to just go out and knock on people's doors and tell them Jesus loves them.
Right.
It's not.
Nope.
It's not a natural thing, especially when you come past their trash can or the front porch and it's all lined with beer cans.
Yep.
It's not natural. You don't know what's going to happen. But I'll tell you what, if the Lord's in it, you can do it. And so I've asked the Lord, just push those out. And when we went out to South Dakota, I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And, you know, because it's so different out there. And yeah, I love it, but it's different. Again, the fellowship, there's none of. The people, they're different. They're backward out there. They're worse than the South. I knew I was going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, you know what I'm talking about. That they're different. It's almost like a third world country in some ways.
Yeah.
And so I just was myself. I asked the Lord, help me to be myself, but I want to have more of a parameter. I want to be able to be comfortable going over here and just talking to people about you. I want to be able to tell people how much the Lord loves them. I want to be able to tell them what sin is and how bad sin is, because that's not an easy thing in these days either. You got to almost watch who what you're saying. You can't talk about sodomy. You can't talk about lesbianism. Listen, God says it's sin, amen. And I want to have that ability without offending them. We're so busy on this thing, we almost hate the sinner anymore, and as well as the sin, but we can't do that. And so I asked the Lord, I said, help me to hate sin the way you do, but help me to love the sinner the way you do. Push those walls out, because that's not natural for us either, at least for me. And so the Lord did that. And I work a job. I love working with cattle. And I love working with horses. And I get out there and I work with cattle and I work with horses and pastor the church and, you know, get the church going and at the same time do a little building at the same time. I still do that, Brother Mark. And so in the process, I'm working a horse sale. And this is what I've asked the Lord, give me to where I want the blessing, but I want the burden also as well as the blessing. Push those walls out and let me do things that I have not done before that I don't think that I can do. And so I'm at this horse sale that I go to once a month that I worked at, and I take horses that come out, and I have to get the pen. They go in, open the pen, get them in the pen without mixing any of them up. Because this pen belongs to one guy, he bought them. This one belongs to another one, he bought them. This one belongs to another one, and this one don't want this one's horses.
Right.
Amen. And but anyway, so a guy comes up to me one day, and he says, and I mean, this has been after a little while that I'd worked there, and people started coming around me, and they say, hey, hush that up, the preacher's coming. They didn't know my name for years out there. They didn't know my name. I was the preacher.
Right.
And they'd say, you know, the preacher's coming. I said, you know what? I said, you're not going to offend me with that stuff. But I said, you're offending God already. I said, why don't you stop because of him?
Yeah.
And I've never said anything like that before. So anyway, this one guy comes up to me and he says, after a while, he says, here's a phone number. My girlfriend wants to know about religion. So I thought about that and I prayed about it and you know, I'm thinking, boy, here we go. And the Lord said, no. Lord ever told you no?
Yeah.
Going to do something for somebody that was right and good. And he said no. And so I didn't do it. And it went on another month and the horse sale came up and I'm there doing my job. And here this guy comes up to me again. And he gives me the phone number again. He says, my girlfriend wants to know something about Jesus. Now that perked me up.
Amen.
Yeah, you can tell somebody about religion. I can't. I'd just soon tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
And he looked at me and he said, now I mean, I need you to get a hold of her. She wants to know about Jesus, and you're the only preacher that I know of that's just a regular guy. Mm-hmm. Now, to some, that might not sound good. But out there, that sounds good.
Amen.
You know, that's what's happened is, today, in the day we live in, there's a lot of preachers that are unapproachable by people.
Right.
We shouldn't be. We make it where they think the Lord's unapproachable.
Yep.
And I'm saying Jabez right here, he calls on the Lord to bless him, keep him from evil, push out his borders, and God answered him.
Amen.
So I thought, well, if Jabez can do it, I can do it.
Amen.
So my wife and I prayed about it, and we said, well, we're going to go see him Friday. This is on a Monday, the horse sale. Friday. We went over. I called. We made set it up. We're going to be there at 5 o'clock. We get there at 5 o'clock. Now, I go in. I've got my Bible, my King James Bible.
Amen.
I go in this house, Brother Hall. They invite me in. I go in. Here they got the dining room table. This woman, Miss Tiffany, she's sitting down here. She's the one that called, that wanted to know. Was she 16 at the time? 16-year-old daughter sitting over here. This lady's sister is sitting down here at this end of the table. Okay? They've all got notebooks in front of them. This one has 2 pages of questions. The daughter has a whole page, and this one down here, she had at least a half a page of questions. They were Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm just saying, nobody had ever told them about Jesus.
Yeah.
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yep.
Now see, I'd studied Jehovah's Witness religion because I thought I needed to know something about it in order to help them. Mm-hmm. So we go on and she starts asking questions and I just opened the Bible. I didn't have anything else. Mm-hmm. I didn't need anything.
Amen.
So I opened the Bible. Every question she had, I just took it right out of the Bible.
Amen.
Every question. Every question. The girl asked a few. This one asked a few. That went back to the mother. And 8 o'clock. Now we got there at 5. 8 o'clock, Brother Lockhart, I look over at the daughter. And she's just streaming tears. And I said, Miss Ashley, I said, did you ever realize, or has anybody ever told you you were a sinner? She said, no. I said, do you realize you are? She said, yes. I said, has anyone ever told you that Jesus was the Savior? The only way that you'd ever get out of hell and into heaven. From going to hell and into heaven. She said, no. I said, would you like to get saved? She said, right now.
Amen.
She bowed her head, asked the Lord to save her. 10 minutes later, the sister bowed her head. Same thing. Bowed her head, asked the Lord to save her. We saw her right before we left South Dakota. We saw that sister. She's still in church.
Amen.
Her boyfriend, she had a little baby living with a man. Her boyfriend, she brings him to church.
Amen.
A couple weeks, he gets saved. Now, I'm not making this up. Amen. You can check it out. He gets saved. He's in the Army, National Guard. He has to go to Kuwait for at least a year. He's down in Texas. He left for Texas, training down there for 4 months. While he's down there, he texts my wife. You say, why did he text your wife? Because I can't text. He texts my wife and he says, now that I'm saved, I need to grow. What do I do? I said, glory.
Amen.
I said, put down in there, start in the book of John, and then go to 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. John loved the Lord, laid his head on the breast, heard the heartbeat of the Savior. He knew him better than any of the rest of them. 1 John, over there, 2 John, 3 John, I tell you, I know these things have I written unto you that you may know. I wanted him to know. Amen. I didn't want him to doubt. I wanted him to know.
Amen.
So he said, do that. He texts back, I think the next day or a couple days later, he says, hey, it ain't right we're living together, is it? Ha! Whoop! I didn't tell him. You get that out of John.
Right.
Amen. So my wife, she said, what do I do? I said, put N-O and send it. What else are you going to say?
Right.
It's not.
Right.
Put no. Send it back.
Amen.
I think it was the next day or something like that. He texted again. He says, I got a 4-day window. I'm coming home. Can you marry us? I said, text back, yes. Whoop! They're still married. They got, what, 2 more kids?
Amen.
Still in church. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
In their religion that probably at a different time, had I not asked the Lord to do more, to give me more, and I'm talking about more tolerance,
right.
I mean, and more sympathy for people, more love of God in my heart for lost sinners, I'd have probably said, listen, there's nothing I can do for you.
Yeah, right.
But I knew in my heart there was something Jesus could do for me.
That's right.
Amen.
The daughter... I didn't tell you about her. She's married and got a kid, married to a preacher.
Amen.
God can do that just with an ordinary person,
amen,
just if you ask Him.
Right.
I wanted a blessing. Now, you know what? The whole time I was sitting in her house, I wasn't thinking about a blessing.
Right. Right.
Huh? You want to talk about sweating? You sit down and have all them ladies around you with pages and pages of notes.
Oh, yeah.
And knowing they're Jehovah's Witnesses.
Right.
They're going to try and hang me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? That's what it seemed like.
Right.
They weren't trying to hang me. Huh? They wanted in on what I had.
Amen.
You know why? And I'm not a super saint. I'm not a hero. I'm not any of that. I just tried to live in front of them. Brother, what I had in me.
Right.
That's all it is. You know, I hear people all the time, well, we don't believe in lifestyle evangelism. I don't know what it is. I don't know what that is. If that's letting your light shine before men, that's Bible.
Right.
If they say that's wrong, then they say my Bible's wrong.
Right.
If they say my Bible's wrong, pretty sure they're lost.
Right.
Pretty simple.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. We got to live right in front of people because we do not know who is watching us.
Amen.
Jabez didn't know that he was going to be watched in this 2018. He didn't know that he was going to be looked at under a microscope in 2018.
Right. Amen.
But he is. We look at his life.
Yes,
and we say, listen, if a man like that can be in 2 verses of the Bible, I didn't find him anywhere else. 2 verses of the Bible, he can be just there and have the impact that he can have if we look at his life and what he was asking the Lord for. I'm saying this, that God can use anybody at any time for his purpose if we'll let him. If we'll just say, Lord, and the biggest thing we've got to do in pushing out those borders, while we're pushing them out, just say, Lord, get me out of the way too, so that they only see you. Those Jehovah's Witnesses that got saved. Now, I'm going to tell you the rest of this, and I'm going to get on with this. And I won't keep you very much longer. But I'm just going to say, the dad came. You're a pretty big man. I mean, he's bigger than you. Brother Steve, he come up to the pulpit after I got done preaching. His first time there. Never been in a Baptist church before. And I feel like he must have felt, you know, you're about the same height I would have been compared to him. And I stayed behind the pulpit too, buddy. I said, yes, sir. He said, I liked it. I felt kind of good.
Amen.
And I felt, then we started praying for him that he'd get saved.
Yeah.
Praying for the mom and dad that they'd get saved.
Yeah.
And I think it was another month, and they came back. And then the third month that they came back 3 months in a row, one service in the month, because he was an oil rig worker. And he come back, and we'd been praying. I'm talking about we'd been praying and praying and praying and asking God to save him.
Right.
And I got done preaching that morning, and usually out there, Brother Hall, I preach on salvation every Sunday morning. I preach something along the line of salvation because you're going to get visitors in the morning that you don't get at night. And so I preach on salvation. And I remember he sat over here in the third pew back from the front, and his one daughter sat over here and another one sat with him. And I just had got done preaching, and I said, now listen, if you need to get saved, you need to get saved. He was on his way to the altar.
Yeah.
And I called on one of his daughters to come and to pray with him. And he got saved, and he told the church about getting saved.
Amen.
And he told me his wife got bitter. I thought, man, we're going to have the whole family get saved and all that. I was so excited. And then his wife wouldn't get saved. She ended up so bitter, and she got cancer and then couldn't find a doctor.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. I didn't ask Miss Kim this time about her. But I'm just saying that's the kind of thing. Well, then it went on that they decided that they wanted those walls pushed out too. We had a church give us a church van. Wasn't in the greatest shape, but it ran. And they said, can we use the church van? We got a couple of kids who want to come. I said, sure. And they were in a town 11 miles away from where we were. I said, sure. I'm thinking, you know, they weren't from there originally, couldn't have been, because a couple is two. The first day they brought nine in that little 15-passenger van. She called me a couple Sundays later. She said, preacher, do you think we can put 20 kids in that van safely? I said, you got enough seatbelts? She said, I can't even find enough for the 15.
Yeah.
I said, bring them.
Amen.
We had kids get saved. I'm not kidding you. What did we have? Nine kids get saved, I think, in 3 weeks. Nine kids get saved in 3 weeks. God worked.
Amen.
All because I it's not all me, but had I not asked God just to do more with me than I could do myself.
Right.
Let me give you three things I believe it'll take in order for us to get a blessing like Jabez got. It's going to take vision.
Yeah.
Looking beyond the human eye.
Yeah.
Seeing with the heart. Seeing, as it were, through the eyes of God.
Right.
What does God want to do? I believe that's the way we ought to pray. Not just for myself.
Right.
Not just even for just other people. But to be able to see them the way God sees them. See, because I have trouble, Brother Hall. I have trouble looking at a sodomite and seeing the love of God.
Yep.
I do.
I
have trouble looking at a drunkard that'll abuse his children and seeing the love of God.
Yes, sir.
I have trouble. So I ask God, don't let me see with my eyes. I remember being in maximum security prison in Upper Peninsula, Michigan. And there were sodomites come in that service. Two sets. And I remember one time, the one guy came in and he was by himself. And I've done this twice in the whole time I've been in the ministry. I stuck a clean sheet of paper in my Bible. I had nothing. I had nothing. And I said, I'm going to put a piece of paper in there in case the Lord decides to give me something on the way and I'll write it down. I have something to preach. I had nothing. And we had the song service. We got done with the song service and I said, somebody got a testimony. I knew that's where it was. Nothing. Brother, you ever said to yourself, I missed it?
Yeah.
I missed it. And I no more than said to myself, I missed it. And this one guy over here, the sodomite, went like this. And I said, yes, sir. He said, what's a testimony? I said, well, telling about your salvation, when you got saved, or what the Lord's done for you. Oh. I'm like, is that it? Went on it couldn't have been a couple of minutes, but it seemed like an eternity. He put his hand back up again. I said, yes, sir. He said, can I do that? I said, yeah. Because I knew he had just got saved. And he stood up and he wept and he said, I want to thank the Lord for saving me. And he said, I'm not perfect. But he said, I want to tell you this. And he turned back around to the other two, the set that was still in there. And he said, but I'm saying this. He said, if you're saying to me that you're saved and you're still in that lifestyle, you're not saved.
That's right.
He said, God's not done with me and there's a lot of things in my life He's working on me about. But He took that out right now.
Amen.
And that's just what He said.
Yeah.
Maximum security prison.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's not even, I don't have that in me.
Amen.
God can do.
Yes, sir.
And I said, what if I would have just preached at him the way I wanted to instead of preaching to him? I asked God to let me see people not the way I see them.
Right.
So it takes vision. It takes being able to look at people in a different way.
Yes, sir.
Not only that, but it takes faith. It demands faith.
Yes, sir.
You've got to have it, because here's the thing. What happens, and I've been there, I've been discouraged when I thought God was working and I thought something was going on and nothing happened.
Yeah.
And I've gotten discouraged. I've gotten discouraged to the point where I wanted to quit. What do you do when you preach and you ask the Lord and you beg God to do something and you don't see anybody getting saved? You don't see any move to the altar. You don't see people doing anything any different than they used to. You don't see people wanting to go out and win souls and to knock doors and to help in the church and to invite anybody up. What do you do? You better have faith.
Amen.
It demands faith.
Yes, sir.
Because at those times it's going to be lean, isn't it, brother? So it demands vision, or it takes vision and it demands faith. But lastly, and I believe it's important, it takes a lot of work. I've talked to some missionaries that go out and I talked to one in Rapid City. And I said, what do you do? We were talking about work. And what I had done is I had to take some horses over to an event over there for people that I work for. It was a world qualification for reining horses. And so I invited this guy, this other preacher. I said, have you ever been to anything like that? And he said, no. And I knew he homeschooled his kids. So I said, well, why don't y'all come? Your kids can, it'd be something they'd never seen before. And I think it's great. Anything with horses is wonderful. But anyway, I had him come and we're sitting there and we're talking about what he does, because I wouldn't want to, and it's fine, but as far as me, I don't want to just pastor without having something in the community to do. Mm-hmm. Now you can't. You got a radio station. Sure. You need about 5 assistants. Well, you got Steve. That's enough. But anyway. Sorry, brother. But anyway, so I asked him, and by working in a community, I get to know people. I can invite people. I feel like I have a more of a chance. I'm more approachable. Let me put it that way. So anyway, I asked him, I said, well, what do you do on the side? Well, my churches that sent me out here said I was not to work a job. They sent me out here just to pastor full time. I said, well, I pastor full time too. But I work another job.
That's right.
You know, is that right, Brother Hall? I mean, when you're pastor and you're full time, it don't matter what else you do. It don't matter whether you got 1 or 21
right.
or 101 or 1,001.
Right.
And so anyway, he said, and I said, well, what do you do, you know, for visitation and all that? He said, oh, I don't do a whole lot. He said, I pray. I get in my office and I pray. And I pray that God only sends me to those people that are going to get saved. Well, I didn't know how to take that. But that's not the way it is. That's not the way it works. It takes a lot of work to go out and to tell people about the Lord.
Yes, sir.
It takes a lot of work going out to somewhere like that. It takes a lot of work, doesn't it, brother? Because you've got to do 2 things. You have to first win them to yourself.
Yep.
You've got to allow them to trust you.
Yeah.
You've got to be consistent.
Yep.
You've got to be faithful. You've got to live what you're going to tell them you believe, because they're going to watch you, and when you falter, they're going to see it.
Right.
So you've got to win their confidence and then tell them about the Lord.
Right.
Then win them to Jesus Christ. And then you'll have the time to disciple them. So it takes a lot of work. There's no easy place in the ministry. None. But there's a whole lot of blessed places in the ministry. You want a blessing? You're going to have to get some vision. You want a blessing that's beyond any blessing we could ever even ask or think about? I'm saying it's going to take, it demands your full attention. It demands you to have faith. I'm not talking about just something that we talk about faith. It's got to be a living faith. It's got to be a faith that you operate in daily. It's not something that you get on like a suit and you just put it on in the morning and say, well, there, I got my faith on, now I can go. It's got to be on all the time.
Right.
And then it demands a lot of work. Not easy, but well worth it.
Amen.
I think about that sometimes sitting back there and trying to get money coming in and not seeing it come in.
Right.
And I think to myself, well, ain't no big deal. I can get up and walk out, go out of the parking lot.
Yeah.
But you don't. You know what I'm saying? It'll still be there. The burden, if you really, and we prayed about it a long time before we came, if the burden is there, you can walk out in the parking lot, you can go down to Lowe's, you can go to Cracker Barrel, you can do whatever you want to do, and that burden's still going to be there.
Right. Yes, sir.
I thank the Lord for it.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for a burden that'll stay with you.
Amen.
And then asking God to bless indeed.
Yes, sir.
Bless in a special way.
Amen.
Keep me from evil. I'm glad he said that first. Because I believe we could model that. And if we would ask, the Lord, Lord, I want a blessing. But I know in the blessing, the devil's gonna come. He's gonna try to discourage me. He's gonna try to defeat me. He's gonna try to kill me if he can. He's gonna try everything. So I want the blessing bad enough that I'm asking you to put a hedge about me and keep me from that evil.
Amen.
Keep me from losing my testimony in front of these people.
Amen. Amen.
And bless me. And I'll close with this. After the vision and the faith and the work, the Bible says, and God granted him that which he requested.
Amen.
God gave him the desires of his heart.
Amen.
He wanted a blessing. We don't know all about Jabez. And I don't know all about him. And I don't know all about what your burden is. But I know mine.
Yeah.
And I know, Brother Shepherd, there are times when I get discouraged.
Yes, sir.
And the burden grows a little bit lighter than what I know it should be. And the light starts to flicker just a little bit. And there's nobody, just my wife and I. And she needs the encouragement too. And I go to her and with all I can do to encourage her, I say, I don't think I'm going to make it.
Yeah. That's encouraging.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I'm just being honest.
Yep.
I don't think I'm going to make it, Miss Hall. I don't know. I think you think about it many times. He's probably said that. We're just... I'm not going to be able to make it. I don't want to do this in the radio station either. I don't want to say, get down to tomorrow and it's not coming in. I look at Brother Steve and he's over there sweating bullets and all. No. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? Whether you two put it on or whether you don't, It's a burden.
Yes, sir.
That until that 30,000 is raised, it's going to be a heavy burden.
Yes, sir.
And thank the Lord it's on you too. No, I'm just kidding. It ought to be on all of us. We ought to all. I believe if a church this side, listen, I thank the Lord. I could preach to this side and still preach to more people than I preach to every week. Amen. But I'm saying a church this size, if we're really united, I'm talking about in prayer.
Yes, sir.
And all come together and say, Lord, this is what we need. We need a blessing. What would the blessing be? It'd be to get the 30,000.
Right.
God could do it tonight. I know He could. I know He has the money. But sometimes there's a lesson tomorrow that He wants us to learn that if we got it today, we wouldn't learn as much as we would wait until tomorrow. Don't ask me to say that again. But the thing is, if we would pray and be honest with God and say, I want a blessing, Lord, I need the blessing, but I know it's going to take work. Please first keep me from evil, because if it happens, we might get prideful and we don't want that. So keep me from that evil. But Lord, we need this. We need to keep this thing going. We need to stretch out further than we were. Lord, I've taken about all I can take. Just put it a little bit further where I can take a little bit more and then a little bit more and a little bit more. Lord, allow me to put up with things that I didn't think I could put up with yesterday.
Yep. Yep.
The stress and the strain of ministry. Ministry, not a burden, but there is a lot of stress.
Right.
There's a lot of strain. We want to see God work. We want to see God do things. We want the blessings of God, not just on us, on the people in the church. We want the blessing for them.
Amen.
And the work sometimes bogs us down. But Lord, we want that. We need that. So we're going to pray and ask God to meet the needs and to do that. And the bottom of it is, God granted them what they needed, what they desired. Granted His request. Thank the Lord I got a God that answers prayers. Thank the Lord I've got a God that's interested in blessing me. Whoop. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord. I'm not worthy, Brother Lockhart. But I'm glad God, I'm glad He sees me as worthy. Hallelujah. Our dear Heavenly Father, again, we do want to thank You. We love You, Lord God. We do pray that You'd bless this church, every person. Lord, I pray that You'd bless Brother Shepherd and, Lord, all those that work on the radio. And then, Lord, I know there's a lot more goes into it than that. I know there's people that pray. I know there's people that aren't even here tonight that are on the radio. And I can think of some right offhand, just the names that I've heard this week even again, Lord. And Lord God, I know they pray. And I know that they want to be involved. And they give. And Lord, they give till it feels good. And then they give till it hurts. Then they give till it feels good again. Lord God, they just keep blessing. And I pray that You'd pour out a blessing on them. Lord God, again, we do ask that You'd help us to meet the need of the radio station, Lord God. Help that to come in. And Lord, I pray again You'd bless this church in a special way. And we do love You, Lord God, because You first loved us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.